This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
Hi, everyone. This is Kate O'Connor reporting for AvWeb. I'm talking with Steve Burns, CEO of Workhorse, a company that's working on the SureFly electric VTOL. Steve, thanks for being here.
Sure. Thank you.
So I hear the SureFly just made its first untethered flight. How did that go?
Good. Probably had 120, 150 tethered flights prior to that, but it was still, when it flies for the first time unrestrained, it's exciting. But it's been a couple years in the making, and we're thrilled with the result.
And do you have the next untethered flight scheduled yet?
Well, we've continued to do them since then, and this week we're down for some tweaks, but next week we start again, and I think we continue a little longer. Do a little more than hovering, jostle around, and then it's not too much of a stretch for us to fly. Since we don't have any transitional components, we fly like a drone. So once you're up, you tilt the front down and you start going forward.
About how long has it managed to be up in the air so far?
I think our longest run is 22 seconds.
With all the attention the eVTOL sector is getting these days, what sets SureFly apart from its competitors?
Good question. The designs, as you start to see more and more of them, they're pretty varied. We took a very pragmatic approach. Workhorse's core business is we make electric trucks. UPS is our largest customer. We've got millions of miles on lithium batteries, right, in all kinds of topologies and a very rigorous duty cycles and different temperatures throughout the year in different parts of the country. So extremes on all sides. We also make a delivery drone that can sit on top of those trucks that we're coming out with. And that's where we kind of learned to have a weight, a mass underneath the props in kind of a cantilevered manner. And that's where we learned, our algorithms about how to control that and fly efficiently with that. And we also, we do a lot of carbon fiber in our vehicles now, a lot of light weighting. A lot of motor control together. It all kind of came together to a SureFly. But again, to your question, we came at it from a pragmatic point of view. So first thing we thought that lithium wasn't quite ready to be the only power source for the vehicle, right? And given the kind of state of lithium batteries. So we are a hybrid. So essentially we have a generator, fossil fuel generator, different types for different use cases, that generates the electricity that drives the eight motors that are directly coupled to the props. We use a small lithium battery there for two purposes. It's kind of the buffer for all the balancing and the gives and takes that the different props are doing, 20 times a second. And then also, should the generator ever fail, which would be a remote event, but if it does ever happen, you have 5 minutes of lithium batteries to get you down safely. And you can control your descent and you can even, you can fly it on the way down and move and hit your target wherever you're trying to get down to. But that is the kind of the one core premise that we're different than most. We're a hybrid. And again, hybrid technology, having two kind of power sources under one roof, that takes a lot of integration. There's a lot of software, a lot of physicality that has to come into play there. So the other thing we didn't want to do was have any transitional elements. So we wanted to be very straightforward. Our props are fixed pitch. They don't change. And we don't have any transitional arms, right? Essentially, it's like a very large drone. And drone technology is pretty mature at this point. So we think we've made a very safe vehicle and a very easy to fly vehicle. One thing we do trade for that is efficiency. Without wings, you aren't as efficient as an airplane, but it's designed for short hops. The other thing we did was, when you say, how are we different? We designed it for, we just think there's a lot of short hop applications, 50 or 70 miles where you'd stop. If you got to refuel, you can refuel and do another 50 or 70 miles, right? Very quickly refuel with just a patrol lamp. So we didn't make it to be necessarily an air taxi, but it might be a commuter. It might be a, a paramedic or emergency responder. It might be military. Replenish troops with supplies. It might be evacuating wounded troops. It might be a farmer doing precision agriculture. So we kind of built it as for those use cases and for purpose, a very lightweight, safe, easy to fly vehicle with kind of a battery backed up helicopter, if you will. We just thought a lot of folks don't have a helicopter because they're relatively difficult to fly. They're perceived as being dangerous because they have a few single points of failure. They're pretty expensive and maintenance is very high. So we thought if we could cure those, suddenly a lot more folks, both consumers and fleets or commercial uses would have such a vehicle.
So what kind of speed and endurance numbers are you aiming for with the SureFly at the moment?
Kind of 70-70. So 70 mile range and 70 mile per hour speed.
And in addition to the battery backup, what kind of safety features are you including?
The last piece will be a ballistic parachute. Only works 100 feet and above. You know, if you're too low, it doesn't have time. But that's a full craft chute that will bring down the whole craft.
And what are you looking at in terms of useful load?
400 pounds for the piston. We're going to have two versions, a piston version, so a piston generator and a turbine generator. We're selling the piston version first, and that has a 400-pound useful load. So that includes, these are initially a piloted vehicle. Autonomy will come when the FAA is ready, but initially it's a piloted vehicle. So pilot and passenger or pilot and cargo is 400 pounds capacity.
What kind of approval process are you pursuing with this aircraft with the FAA?
Good. So we have experimental now, but we are seeking full type approval from the FAA. We've had a lot of great meetings with them as we, you know, the toughest part really, well, the initial part is to determine what type of craft this is. We're going under Part 23, Part 27, 21.17. There's different kind of avenues. And this vehicle is a little bit of a tweener. It's in between a couple of them. So, but we are definitely pursuing full type certification.
I know this is always up in the air, but any estimate on how long you expect that to take?
Tough. We've been saying 2019 might be early 2020, but that's what 2020. But that's what we're shooting for, which would be, you know, record pace. But if we can move quick enough, the FAA thinks we can get it done.
And what's the target price for the SureFly?
For the piston version, $200,000.
Anything on the turbine yet, or is that still in development?
Still in development.
Okay. And what has interest in the project been like?
Well, you know, I think it's the long-established dream of personal flight is still very much alive. So it's just what we had hoped. We've just seen phenomenal excitement across consumers, commercial, and military.
Lastly, Steve, where can people go to see these things?
The plan is to fly at Oshkosh in July, you know, so people can see the steadiness of it, the ease of use, and the noise level, and, you know, everything that goes along with it. Because it's so different, nobody has any experience with that sort of thing. So we thought that would be a good venue. So I think that is the main public showing that we will do.
Steve, thanks for taking the time to talk today. I'm looking forward to seeing how the project develops. This is Kate O'Connor reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.